Proverbs chapter 14. The wise woman builds up her house or her family, but the foolish woman destroys it. So then, you've got to think what is going to be helpful to build up a family. And what builds up a family is love, because in the New Testament, we're told to build up ourselves in love. And it's as simple as that, and that means not being provoked all the time. It means not demanding that somebody put everything right. It's recognizing that you yourself are annoying, and it's things you do when nobody's watching. So you're in the house on your own and you see some stuff that hasn't been washed up, or you see just stuff lying around on the floor, you pick it up and do something with it. That is the way of wisdom. Be honest, and that will show your respect for the Lord. But dishonesty shows your disrespect for the Lord. Now, we are honest because we know that God is watching. And so if we are dishonest, we're really saying, I don't respect God and I don't respect his presence. I don't believe he watches me. A fool talks too much because of his pride, but a wise man is protected by his own words. So words are so significant, because Jesus says that the heart is what leads to the words. So our heart is our mind. So then to be spiritually minded, to have the mind of God and Jesus, is so critically important. And it's reflected in our words. Your barn will remain empty if you have no oxen to pull a plough. But if you have oxen, you will be full of corn. In other words, you've got to use some wisdom and do some hard work in practical life. What this shows is that wisdom is not something merely intellectual. It's not just some ideas in your brain, but that it must be revealed in practice. Proud people will never find wisdom, but the humble learn easily. So the reason why people don't understand the Bible, the reason why people say that God and all that is too difficult, I don't know what God thinks, it's because of their pride. Because they are not humbling themselves to recognize that God's word is God's word, and their word is only the word of man, and that human wisdom is not God's wisdom. Keep away from foolish people, because they cannot teach you anything. So you should want to be taught. And that affects who you mix with. And choice of friends, especially when we're young, is really so important. It's really so important to choose your friends wisely, because it is friends that lead people astray, because all we like sheep go astray. Depends who we're with. Why is a wise man wise? Why is a stupid person foolish? Because he thinks that he knows best. The fool doesn't care if he sins, but the good and wise wish for forgiveness. So, being a wise person means recognizing that you've sinned and that you want to be forgiven, whereas foolishness is really a refusal to accept that you have sinned. The heart's joy is its own, just as the heart's bitterness is its own, and nobody can share that with you. So again, you see, a call to be an individual, to not have our emotions dominated by other people, but to have our own relationship with God. The house of a good man will still stand after the evil man's house has fallen down. And again, Jesus uses that in his parable, that the wise man built his house upon a rock because he listened and got what God said, whereas the fool builds without thinking about God's word. So you see, our attitude to the Bible is critical, because in our age, this is where you read the specific wisdom and mind of God. The road that appears right may be the road to death. So don't just do what's right in your own eyes. Just because it feels good to you, don't just go and do it. You see this foolish thing about just do it. It's written on people's t-shirts and stuff like that. Well, just do it. No, don't just do what comes into your head. Oh, that looks nice. Think I'll steal it. Oh, I'm angry. I'll hit him. Oh, she annoyed me. I'll say this to her. Self-control. And recognizing that our own natural native ideas are very often wrong. And this is where it's only a humble person who can accept the very simple truth that the Bible is God's word and it's not like human words. A fool believes anything, whereas the wise are careful of how they walk. So that's the trouble, that foolish people who don't have God in their life, who don't recognize that they're sinners, they will believe whatever feels good to them. Oh, somebody told me that if I do this or that, then I'll get rich. Oh, yay, I'd love to do that. And they end up in all sorts of problems. The wise stay out of trouble, but the fools act too quickly. Again, lack of self-control. And it is our attitude to wisdom and our recognition that we are likely to be wrong in our gut reactions, in our natural interpretation of things. It's this which leads to wisdom. The fool gets what his foolishness deserves, but the wise are rewarded with knowledge. Now, knowledge alone is not going to save you, but the idea is that life is an upward spiral if you're wise. You get wisdom, you get more knowledge, and it helps you to greater self-control, whereas the foolish just go from one foolish decision to the next, and their lives spiral downwards. The evil will bow down before the righteous and will beg their favor. Well, that doesn't happen in this life, because the evil often have power, like they did over Jesus, who was the righteous one. So again, this is one of those proverbs that is looking forward to the last day, to the day of judgment. Whereas Jesus says in one of his letters to the churches in Revelation that the evil will bow down before the feet of the faithful. But that is when everything has been reversed. And that big reversal of turning everything upside down is going to happen only when he comes back. People don't like the poor, but it seems that the rich have many friends. Again, that's a description of life as it is now. But you'd remember one rich man who had a lot of friends, and it was the prodigal son while he was rich. He had lots of friends while he had lots of money, but then when his money finished, he didn't have any friends. So I don't think that's a great thing. It's true at the moment, but I think Jesus read these words and he sort of works it all back and says, yes, that's true. The rich do have many friends while they've got money, but they're not true friends. In other words, they don't help you when you haven't got anything. So then, yes, the rich have many friends, but only for now, and they're not real friends. If you wish to be truly happy, then give to the poor. It is a sin to despise anybody. So why don't we give to the poor? Because we despise. You may say, I haven't got any money. I can't give to the poor. But you can give to the poor things other than money. And people are not only poor because they don't have money. People can have not have enough of something that you've got lots of. You might be poor, but you might be from a happy family. And someone else might be rich, but from a family that argues, and maybe they don't have much of a family. You can give to them. But if you despise any person, if you look down upon them, then you won't be motivated to be generous to them. Wise people are rewarded with wealth, but fools are known for their foolishness. Well, that, I would think, is ultimately only true in the kingdom, because you've got to compare the Bible with itself. And the Bible often laments how the righteous are poor and the wicked apparently have wealth and prosper. So ultimately, this will come true, that the wise get wealth. when Jesus comes back, and the wealth again will not be lots of gold coins. It will be the wealth, the riches of knowing God. Respect for the Lord gives confidence and security to a person and to his family. So that is what we can get in this life, not wealth, but confidence and security with God. And that is the greatest thing that you can have, that you respect God and he loves you and you're absolutely sure that he is there for you, whatever happens in life. The greatness of a king depends upon how many people he rules, and without them, he is nothing. I wondered if that, in a sense, refers to God, because although the kingdom of God has not now been established, in another sense, God and Jesus are our king, and we are their kingdom, in that sense, their people. And so his glory is made even greater. The more people come under his kingship. And without them, he is nothing. And I wondered if, in a sense, that's how God feels, that if he didn't make a single convert on this earth, well, he would, in that sense, be nothing. If you remain calm, you are wise. But if you have a hot temper, you show your foolishness. So the effect of wisdom is self-control of temper. And that is, you know, we all fail at times in this kind of thing. But that is the path of wisdom, to be more self-controlled. If you oppress the poor, you insult the God who made the poor. But if you show grace to the poor, that is an act of worshipping God. So that is so true, that God is particularly sensitive to how you treat poor people. Because God, if you like, manifests himself in poor people. And in the parable, Jesus says that when he comes again, he'll say to people, well done, when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. And the righteous will say, when did we do that? And he'll say, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. So our attitude to the poor, in whatever sense they are poor, is so significant to God. And you see that time and again in the Bible. The wicked bring about their own downfall by their own wicked deeds, but the righteous are protected by their righteousness. I think what that's saying is that judgment and condemnation is really what the wicked want themselves. They want to be in this world. Well, this world, in the sense of society, is going to be destroyed when Jesus comes back. If you want to be in the world, well, then you will face the world's judgment. Come out from her, my people, is what God says. But if we want to stay and carry on, just like we're just a person who's in the world, well, then we are asking for our own condemnation. So condemnation is brought about by us, really, more than God. A truly wise person has wisdom in his every thought, whereas the fool has nothing to do with wisdom. So again, wisdom is in every thought. This is the calling of Christianity, to think in a spiritual way, to have the Spirit. In the New Testament, it talks a lot about the Holy Spirit, which God is willing to give to those who want it. It is bringing our thoughts, as Paul says, one by one, into subjection to Jesus Christ. So then that is what really the believing life is all about. It's about what you think when nobody's watching. It's about how you feel. It's about being spiritually minded.